tap it in. Just tap it in. Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
All right, we're live here for the DJ Cup Byron Nelson preview. Blake's on from the airport. I think it should be smooth enough with him coming in from there, but we'll see how it goes. If any issues, that's the reason why. Blake, did you get to watch much of either Live Adelaide or the awesome team event last week?
Yeah, man, I witnessed history. The first ever team playoff in Live Golf history. And boy, was it electric.
Was it good?
It was actually really good. I don't know if that was the bourbon talking. Dipped into some Basil Hayden's that night. Rooting on Louie. Smoking cigars with the boys at the Airbnb we were staying at. And I had no skin in the game for the team playoff, but it was actually pretty electric. And it was probably obviously more electric because of the Rippers were in it. But yeah, I watched all of Live just because timing wise, it was on at 7:45 each night. So it was easy to watch it. And I didn't watch any of the Zurich, not 1 second.
Yeah, he didn't miss much. I watched a good amount of Adelaide just because, obviously, I thought Louis had a really good chance. He started off well, missed some putts. Once I realized he wasn't going to win, I went to bed because it was like 2:30 a.m. But
he had a shot, man.
I know.
Like an outside shot. We just, like, Steele was getting up and down from everywhere.
Yeah, and really frustrating because we were completely on the right track. Like, Cam should have really... I think he maybe had one too many drinks on Saturday night, and then he was all right, but he came on late, and then Louis should have won.
He should have. It was crazy, you know, when you watch Live, you'll see them show a shot. You know that one par three, Louis stuck it to like 4 feet, and they just never went back to him. And I was like, oh man, that means he definitely didn't make that putt.
Yeah.
That one birdie putt. And he missed a lot of short putts. He had a bunch of chances.
Yeah, that's frustrating. Not yet, buddy. I'll get you in a little bit. Yeah, it was frustrating. I mean, I don't know. Louis, is it surprising that Louis couldn't figure it out? No, not really. But
no, not at all.
It is a little surprising that Steele was able to. I mean, he missed a couple shorties too, but.
He did.
He just drives it so reliably. I thought there was a chance he might fall apart, hook one or something, but he never did.
Yeah, and it's tough. It's really tough to make a mess of that course. So,
yeah, overall the event excitement is good, but for me, like, I'm a little bit fatigued of the talk about Adelaide being Liv's major and this great event. Like, until you can put a championship golf course together or an event where you're actually challenging the best players. Like, I don't care about the fan support and the, I mean, I care about it. It's great for Liv, whatever. But as a viewer of the golf, I'm not really thrilled with the course.
How do you feel about Scottsdale?
I don't love it. I think it's probably a good comparison.
Just because Scottsdale isn't the greatest, of course. I played Scottsdale a few years ago. And like, all the courses I played this week out here in St. George, Utah, I mean, were like a million times better than that course. And Scottsdale, you get into the 20s all the time.
Yeah. This isn't the 20s, but it's three rounds.
What? Did he get to 20 too?
19 or 18.
Yeah. So 2 years, minus 19 was the winner. Yeah, the course isn't great, obviously. They need to find a better course. But
people will argue and say that it's the course is great. What are you talking about? Like, there's so many good courses in Australia. You can't find one that might be a little bit tougher. That's not 6,800 yards for a par 72.
If it is, don't you have to cut half of Australia off? I don't really know.
Yeah, you do.
But half of them, like, just despise Live, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
So,
I think Melbourne. Yeah. So that's right. So yeah, overall, I thought it was fine. It's not my favorite Live event. I actually like the one this week a lot better. And
yeah,
TPC
Scottsdale isn't our favorite PGA event. So, I mean, it's kind of right on par for us, right?
it's good for what it is. Like, if you're looking for that type of stuff, I don't care about the throwing the beer. I call me old fashioned. I don't love the throwing the beers on the fucking course and all that shit. It's not for me.
Yeah. Same thing with Scottsdale. I thought Scottsdale was an abomination this year.
Yeah. So I, yeah. But I will say this, and the other, on the other end of it, you have the PGA Tour fans who are like giving all the shit about the caddy Jones's, who's Herbert's caddy, getting hit by the beer. Like, you guys were celebrating Scottsdale. There was just fucking morbidly obese people rolling down the hill like shit in their pants.
Yeah, that's true. I do think Liv needs this event, though.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely good for Liv. But the question is, can you carry that over to the next event? Does it? And I know they're going, I think they're going to announce shortly that they're going to South Africa next year. So that's a big thing.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I think it'll be similar. Did you hear them booing Bermie when he left that bunker shot?
I'm not going to lie, I was pretty intoxicated, so I didn't hear much of the broadcast. I may have been in bed by that point, but it was...
how was your trip overall? You played Black Desert, which is going to be on the PGA Tour next season. It's a course built by Zach Blair on the PGA Tour. Views and stuff look awesome, but how was playing it?
So we played... Black Desert's being played this fall.
Yep.
Okay, the course opened up April of 2023, so it's been open only for a year. It was the greatest course I think I've ever played.
Really?
Yeah. It was, everything was just pristine, and the scenery, the scenes is just incredible. Like, it's just, we played like during the golden hour, so it was just like,
see the sun go down,
sun going down over these mountains and cliffs, and it was just awesome. And the course was just immaculate. Crazy, best greens I've ever putted on. They were just so smooth and green and fast. It was just amazing.
Bentgrass? Really,
bentgrass. Yep. I got a whole a bunch of information on the course, so we're really ready this fall for it.
How'd you play?
I played terrible. I played good the day before, but yesterday wasn't my day. But it was still fun. It didn't even matter how I played.
Yeah, just great. I mean, it looks amazing.
Yeah, I get some more pictures. We'll post up on the TAP site. The caddy we had, he thinks the pros are going to tear it up. I kind of do too. It's 7,400 yards from the tips. So pretty long, but very generous fairways. But if you aren't in the fairway, you're pretty much OB. There's some rough. The rough was very thick that you got in. Tough to get out of. But
no trees,
it was mostly
right?
Just... No trees, not on that course. It's just all black rock.
Yeah.
From like, you got into that shit and your ball's just gone. It's gone. But the pros are going to tear it up. Our caddy said he thought a 62, 61 was probably going to happen.
Interesting. Interesting.
It's par 72. They're going to play it at par 71. It's like a whole big resort area, too. Like, they're building it up right now. There's so much construction going on. The course has been done for like a year and a half, but they're building up, like, resorts and shit. I don't know where they're going to put all this, all the fans, though. Like, it's very tough walking course. And, like, the caddy was telling me they're going to put, like, some of their stands, like, on the Black Rock.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy. But it was really, really interesting course. Ton of cool holes. And the backdrop was just immaculate.
Wow, interesting. What it cost? $300?
So it cost like $275, and that includes food and food and drink, but not no alcohol because they're a dry course right now. They don't have their liquor license. But anytime you wanted something like a snack or something, you just get it for free. $275 is well worth it. We played Wolf Creek as well, which was $360, and I would take Black Desert over Wolf Creek 100 out of 100 times.
Wow. Course seems awesome, and this might be a good time to throw it in here. If you Let's Go Golf shirt, use the code MAT15, you get 15% off. You guys were rocking that as the team uniform. What'd they think of them?
Oh, yeah. They all loved it. A lot of people at Black Desert loved it as well, a lot of the staff members and the caddies. So we looked sharp. We won the day. We won the day. We didn't win the event. We won the day.
What was the format of that day?
That was all singles. That was all singles.
Who'd you get?
I got Brett, my cousin.
And you beat him?
One up going to 18, and he beat me on 18.
Wow.
Yeah. It was actually, if I didn't lose that 18th hole, my team probably would have won.
Well, it seems like you had a good time. Good time.
Great time. Highly recommend St. George for a golf trip. Great time.
So you didn't miss much with the Zurich. It was absolutely an abomination. I mean, I didn't watch anything to this back nine, and like, I want to kind of go easy on these guys, but it was the worst. And I'm not being sarcastic or exaggerating. It was the worst golf I've ever seen played in a PGA Tour event.
Just bad golf.
It was so bad. It was like you had who was it? Martin Trainer in the playoff with whoever he was with. You had Brem and his partner, Brem and Hubbard.
Fuck out of these guys.
Oh, it was so bad. And then the last group, you had the two Utah guys where you're at. They're from, I think they're from the area where you're in right now.
I'm in Vegas right now, but St. George, yeah.
Yeah, Lawrence Fishburne, the guy from The Matrix. No, not Lawrence Fishburne, yeah. Patrick Fishburne, and who's the other Utah guy?
Zach Blair.
And Blair, yeah. So those two guys, they should have won, really. They, like, completely fucked it up. But all the teams that were in contention were just shitting their pants. Like, it was like someone commented this when I on my tweet that it looked like a bunch of like seven handicaps trying to win their club championship. That's what it looked like, and that's what it felt like. And Rory and Shane are celebrating, it's like singing these songs and shit. Like, they played it. They didn't play good at all. Rory was all right. He was above average, I'd say. Shane was horrific.
Missing shorties.
He did nothing at all to contribute to the win, and Rory just played okay, and they still won somehow. Like, they didn't.
Was it a playoff?
It was sad. It was a playoff.
Oh, okay.
The playoff, they didn't want to win either. They parred it. It was a par five, pretty easy par five. Rory hit a bad drive. Shane hit a horrible second. But
they won with a par and a par five.
They won with a par. The other team wanted not, like, you could have given the team unlimited shots and they wouldn't have got it in the hole because they were bad.
One of those events where Blair and Fishburne stormed, and then once they felt contention, they just shit themselves.
Yeah, pretty much. But they were, I believe, in the lead to start, so they didn't really storm. They had a great Saturday. Wow. I think they shot 60 on Saturday on the best ball format, and then it was just embarrassing. I mean, chips, they weren't even reaching, like, just leaving the chip short. I mean, Martin Trainer in the playoff was just embarrassed himself.
Really?
Left a chip short. They need a 3-footer to par the hole, and he
missed.
Not only did he miss, the putt had 0% chance of even touching the edge. It was like, it was a 3-foot putt, and he missed it 2 feet to the right.
How is that possible?
And then I think he started crying after.
And Rory was just celebrating.
And Rory and Shane do karaoke.
I saw that.
I mean, can people just be fair and consistent with everything? People say the live stuff is cringe, and I'm fine with that opinion. If you don't like the beer celebrations and the shoeys and all that, I'm not big on it either. But then don't say that's so cringe, and then Rory's a legend for that karaoke performance. It's either both cringe or neither of them are. They both weren't great.
Yeah, the Rory thing wasn't great, but I saw people loving it.
So, I mean, no one can be fair. No one can be consistent. They just, everything they have is with the warped sense of whatever they prefer. So, like, I don't know. It's really rare to find anyone who can just tell the actual truth. But I thought it was horrible. The whole event was horrible. They need to do something. I mean, they can keep it, I guess, if they want. But it's probably the worst event that could ever be created.
The Thursday and Saturday is just horrific.
Yeah, it's not watchable. It's just so, why can't they do a team match play event?
They took match play away from us.
You could do a individual match play. That event could be a team match play event.
The alternate shot's cool. I like that.
I love alternate shot, but like what they're doing with the alternate shot is such a great format that they're still reaching the floor of what alternate shot could be, because they're just doing it like it's a great format, but they just are making something great into something like average. That part of it is average. The rest of it is god awful.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't throw a lot of money into that event. So
no, a couple teams had a outside shot going into Sunday with Mitchell and Diamond. I don't know which one of them was fucking everything up, but one of them was. I don't know, because you don't get shot tracker.
Oh yeah, why did they get rid of shot tracker this week? They used to get it.
So apparently they're testing it because they're going to do a new shot tracker 2.0 for the President's Cup. And this team event. And this, yeah, the President's Cup is going to be like 22.5 to 4.5. But they're testing it for the President's Cup because it's going to be they're trying to make the team format alternate shot work in shot tracker. So they use this as like a test for that.
Wow. PGA. Figure it the fuck out.
Yeah, it's not going well. I mean, but another thing too is Liv, like they act like they have strokes gain stats, and it's like they sent it out once, and it's like this is not fucking useful in the context you're giving it to us. It's like, hey, here's strokes gain from an event 2 months ago, but it doesn't include like anything you really need it to include, and it's outdated. Like they're like, here's strokes gained. Well, that's not really doing us anything.
Yeah, that the whole golf world is just fucked right now.
Oh god, it's like so bad in both ways. So
we were crushing Liv though in Utah. They got the Utah ratings up on Liv this week.
Was there anyone in your group just who's a casual golf fan and like that was their first Liv experience?
Yeah, I believe so.
And what do they think of it?
I think they just thought they think it's kind of weird, but it's just regular golf. Everybody was on Cam Smith, so we were all rooting for Cam Smith. That was the big thing. Yeah. As soon as we got into Vegas on Wednesday, everybody just bet Cam Smith as I told them to. And a couple guys were on Louis, so we were all pulling for Louis as well.
Yeah, well, kind of a throwaway week. I don't love either event. Obviously, Liv Adelaide is superior to the Zurich. But all right, into this week here. We got another two events.
Yeah, not good.
So we got to win one of these two, I think.
Yeah, we could be dead if we don't.
Yeah, we got. I mean, two cracks at it. Just give me one of them. That's all I need. But
I need one winner between now and the PGA.
That's fair. And what do we get next week? Quail Hollow?
Quail Hollow.
And then Texas again?
No, and then the PGA.
Oh, they're playing it elevated the week before the PGA?
Mm-hmm.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it is bizarre. The schedule is so bizarre.
You can just give the... I mean, that's crazy. I mean, the week after, I get it. You drag everyone's ass out there, like, go do it. But the week before...
We get either week. Before or after.
I agree, but the week after, you can go half-assed and collect your paycheck. The week before, like, you're not giving these guys a choice of how they want to prepare for a major.
Yeah.
Although they don't have to play him this year.
Oh, they don't? I was wondering why Willie Z was playing this week. I know he's from Dallas, but, like, he's played, like, 6 weeks in a row.
Yeah, maybe trying to sharpen himself up because he's just so inconsistent right now. But is there something else? I thought there was something else in a...
Rory got his money.
He did?
Yeah, the best.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger did too. Anything on that?
No, I mean, I don't think people care about money. I don't want to talk about it anymore either, you know?
Yeah, cool. He's back on the policy board.
That is interesting. I mean, I guess the natural conclusion for that, in my opinion, is... He knows Tiger and Steiny and them aren't going to allow any positive momentum with Liv stuff. And hopefully Rory's going to be the guy saying we need to come together. I think that's what he might be.
better be. Still don't see an end in sight yet.
Maybe not. So in that case, we'll just have to continue to preview both. And here we go for the Byron Nelson. I kind of, for whatever reason, I don't know why, I have a decent feeling about it. So we got the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, new sponsor this year. McKinney, Texas, TPC Craig Ranch. This course is obviously, a very easy course. Not great. It used to be Trinity Forest, which I know. Yeah, it was. I think it was a little tougher, right? But it was just a shithole dog track.
It was built on a wasteland.
And the players complained a lot about it.
Yeah.
So I think this course is obviously a little nicer, but I think it's just really easy. It's a par 71, 7,414 yards. So it's not that short, but it's still going to play really easy. The last three editions are easy. The only three times it's been played at this course, you had K.H. Lee won at 25 under, and then he won the next year in 2022 at 26 under, and then last year was 23 under. So definitely a birdie fest. From what I hear, it's going to be really soft this week. A lot of rain, so I think it probably might even play easier than that.
That's not good.
Yeah. So, let's see. And by the way,
so
your sound's not
good. Private, my sound's not good.
No, it's not terrible, but it might be easier if you mute while I'm in between, while you're not talking, just so I get the background noise. It's 26, 26, 23. Day one last year, which we thought, he was playing really well. We were on him for the last couple of weeks, and then he comes in at 18-1 on the birdie fest, and he does it. So I think targeting guys who you don't think is birdie fest guys, like, might be a mistake. You got to kind of be open to whatever players. Approach is important. Day gained 6.4 in approach, was fourth in the field. K.H. Lee was ninth and second in his two wins. Off the tee is definitely relatively important, considering it is kind of long. Not long, but you can definitely hit driver. Birdie or better. This is pure bent grass. Looking for some bent grass putters. And that's about it.
So it's a longer course. Long irons. We're looking at long irons, right?
I think so. I think between 170 and 200, you'll see a lot.
And the rough is not penal at all. There's really no trouble. You can kind of just blast it all over the place, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Are we favoring Bombers?
I mean, I don't know. The last 3 years, it doesn't really seem like Bombers were that prevalent on the leaderboard, were they?
Who did they beat? I don't even remember. But yeah, occasionally in Day, they can be a Bomber, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but I wouldn't say classifies that now. And K.H. Lee isn't long.
Right, but I think it helps.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it definitely will help. Let's see, last year, I get that leaderboard here. You had Day One, beat Siwoo.
Okay.
Then Eckroat, Pan, Scheffler, Hatton, Marty Du, Ryan Palmer, Adam Scott.
Marty Du, how did that team do?
I think they're okay. They're decent for a while. I think they finished like middle of the pack.
Yeah.
And let's see, 2022. You had K.H. Lee won. Let's see. What the fuck? 2022. All right, Data Golf just keeps me showing me 2023, but yeah, is what it is.
So we're looking for Texas guys. The field is absolutely atrocious, by the way.
Yeah, it's like basically the same as the last Texas event, but no Scotty.
Yeah, so we need to win one of these without Scotty in the tournament.
And I think there's a lot of value this week, only because, like, top of the odds board wise, it seems like the players there just, like, aren't really playing that well.
Yeah, Spieth sucks.
Good. Spieth is a favorite who's playing horrible. I mean, I'm not saying he can't win this week, but 12-1 is laughable.
He's down to 12?
I believe that's where he opened at.
I was seeing 14 to 16.
Oh, so he went up. He did. I thought he was going to open at 12. He's 16. Yeah, he's 16, and he's the favorite. Then you got Day, Siwoo, Zalatoris, Sungjae, Noren. That's everyone from 25 and below. So you got 1, 2, 3. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that are the top of the board who are feel really, really beatable.
Yeah, Zal doesn't seem like the event for him. He can't make enough putts, right?
I don't think so, but I mean, he almost feels like Day last year, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Sungjae just won in Korea over the weekend.
Did he?
Yeah.
Starting to play a little better.
He is. I know. He finished at 11 under. There's a couple guys close to him, all Koreans. There's like a South Korean event, so I don't think. I mean, I don't know who the hell he
beat. That's a lot of travel.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I'm glad he won, so I don't even have to be tempted by him. Because I was kind of interested in him.
So you think that rules him out for you?
That's just going to be my deciding factor, yeah.
So, Zal, now, what about Siwoo? I mean, he came in second last year. How do you feel about him?
He can definitely win.
He's South Korean, like Texas, huh?
Number kind of stinks.
Oh, it's awful.
So
people can keep betting Siwoo at 18, 25 to 1. Like, I'll bet him when he's 66.
Yeah, exactly.
Noren. Just a loser, right?
Doesn't it kind of feel like Day, though?
Yeah, it does. It does.
He didn't play at the Zurich, right?
No.
When did he? He was at Houston. He was good.
Let's see. His last finishes. He was at. Yeah, he played Corrales as the favorite. Finished 23rd. His last five starts. Houston. We're on him at Houston. Houston and Valero. I don't know if we're on Valero. Houston, he was T11. Valero, he was T14.
Texas events.
Once he's five starts in a row. He's finishing the top 23. Has never once contended in any of them.
Never. Yeah, you can't bet Noren.
Yeah, 25 to 1. I mean, even Texas Open and then Valero. I mean, he was T11 and T14. He never sniffed the top five. He was just.
Did Day?
Prior to winning?
Yeah, he kind of was in contention.
I believe he was. I mean, was it Pebble? Let's see.
Tory,
yeah. Day, let's see. What else did he do? So before he won this thing, his finishes were, well, he missed the cut the week before at Wells, T39 at Masters before he won, and then he missed three straight cuts afterwards. But that season, he had some better finishes. He was T7 at Farmers, fifth at Waste, T9 at Genesis, T10 at API, T19 at the Players, and tied for fifth at the Match Play.
Okay. So, yeah, he was playing well earlier in the season.
He only played bad once prior to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does feel similar. But, again, I'll probably say the same thing what I said about Day last year. I mean, if he can win at 18-1, so be it.
What number would you have to bet Noren?
35.
Okay. I'm not where he's 25.
Yeah.
Okay. So where would we start?
I'm starting at. So one guy I want to talk to before that is Adam Scott. He also has that same Day feel to me. Obviously, both Australian, play well at similar courses. He's played well in Texas. He is playing better than people, I think, realize. I mean, his last 10 starts, he's only finished outside of the top 22 twice.
Yeah, he's never sniffed contention in any of them.
He did not. But T14 at Valero, which I think is important, and then just the Texas event, and then the Masters 22nd. He fucked on approach at the Masters.
Who has a better shot to win, him or Noren?
Him.
I'm gonna say neither.
I think neither is probably the answer. I wanted to bet him coming into this. Shocker, I know, but I thought he was gonna be 35-40.
Dude, been 5 years since he won.
Yeah. What did he win? Riv.
Yeah, that was 2019.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's unlikely, I'm sure, but wow, odds kind of going back on DK. So we'll start here. Scott, if Scott drifts to 35-40, I would consider it, or if you can get him live at that point, because I'm going to be underexposed. I'll think about
it. Yeah, so I think that's the best way to play Scott. At some point this tournament, he will be 80-1. You just got to catch it.
If he does that, I'll do that. So starting at, then you got Minwoo, Tom. Not interested in Tom. Tom's catching steam again. I don't know. He played in Texas 3 weeks ago and he sucked ass. That was why I didn't bet him after that. People are all over his love. People love betting Tom. It's just not for me.
Yeah, we usually know when to bet Tom. I'm just not feeling it. We know when he's going to play well. We'll let you know.
Yeah, so I'm starting with Benny on it. 30-1. I thought he got steamed down, but it looks like what I'm looking at right now, it looks like he's 30 on DraftKings.
I know. Why'd you tell me 28 was the best number I was getting?
Did he move down and back up?
I don't know. At the time I couldn't bet anything on DraftKings because I was in Utah. But
okay, so I think 30 is good. I'm surprised he went back up to 30. I mean, it's fine. It's all right. I mean, is it good in the grand scheme of things? No. But
no, he should be 40, 50 as well. Yeah.
But so here's the case for him. Tee to green's been really good. He had his best ever Masters start, finished T16, which is tied for his best ever start in a major. Just having a really good year. After that, he wasn't great at Heritage. He was horrible putting it. I don't think he's a Bermuda guy, really. But 67th is no cut at the Heritage. He still gained 5-6 strokes ball striking. It was all around the green and putting where he fell. So he's in three starts in a row. He's gained on approach and off the tee. Approach has been really good. Off the tee has been really, really good. And then his last year, he finished T14 here. Played really good off the tee and on approach. And then this season, the two events that he's really contended in, Century and Sony, were really low-scoring events.
Yeah, and I love the way he's driving the ball. You don't have to worry about around the green here at all, right? If you have to worry about around the green here, you're not going to win because you got to make a million birdies. So I think we just need him to was his best surface bent?
Yeah.
So we just need him to make some putts, maybe gain 2 putting, right? A couple strokes putting, and then keep up the approach play. And I really think he's in contention this week. Whether he wins is another story, but of the Koreans, he's the one I favor.
And Koreans are great here, and now you get the new CJ Cup sponsor, which is a Korean company. Like, I just think, not that that matters on the golf course, but it does feel like there's going to be some Asians involved. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
There's some cross with Scott stuff at this place too, right?
Is there?
Paige Lee, he plays well at both.
That's true.
Benny Fox at both.
Was Brooks in the mix the first year was here?
I can't remember. Spieth been?
Yeah, I think. I get some of the I'll give you the course history right now. The best course history here we got. Strokes gained total at this course. Let's see. Is. Why am I seeing this in the fucking most bizarre order? A lot of guys have never played it, but yeah. So Cage Lee first, Jordan Spieth second, Ryan Palmer third, Seamus Power fourth, Adam Scott fifth. Seabez 6th, who's no longer in the field. Norn 7th. Day 7th. Then you got Bramlett, Cooch, Jaeger, Tom, Siwoo, Vegas, Hubbard, Wu. So those are the guys.
Okay. Maybe not so much Scottsdale, but I know Cage Lee plays good. They're both, so.
Spieth has too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So Benny, throw him on the card.
Kucher actually has a little bit too. So we'll go. Yeah, definitely Benny. Fuck it. One more time. We get a new white whale. I hit the Hideki 80 at Genesis, so I get a new white whale. It's Benny.
Boom. Okay. Anybody else in the 30s, you bet?
No.
Okay. What about Mitchell at 40?
It's interesting. I mean, I wish we had stats last week because I really think – I don't know if it was him or Diamond. They're missing a bunch of short pots, just doing a bunch of dumb stuff. I know we're not too worried about that. He was T14 at Valero. At Houston, he was cut. I don't know. He's never really contended this year either.
He did. He was the leader at Valspar. Shit his pants.
Oh, that's right. He finished T17. That's pretty bad.
But yeah, he was the 54-hole leader.
Yeah, his ball striking has been fucking wild. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10 straight events gaining off the tee and on approach.
Yeah, I'm leaning there. I know he might be a loser as well, but I'm leaning.
Is he a Texas guy, you think?
I think so. You just said finished well at Valero, right?
Yeah, missed the cut in Houston. His two starts here, he was T26 in 2021, T76 in 2022.
Yeah. Well, I haven't pulled on Mitchell, but thinking about it, I don't know. He might just be a one loser as well.
You think him in a? You like him in a bird fest?
Yeah, why the fuck not?
Now, what do you want, Valspar? Honda?
Won Honda.
Yeah, I'm unsure. What about Jaeger? Won in Texas his last start, 30-1.
I'd be all over Jaeger if he didn't already win.
You don't think he's going to win two out of three?
I don't, no. He played well at Heritage, too.
I know, I don't either, but he's probably dangerous.
If Scotty had won Houston, I'd be on Jaeger right now this week.
Yeah, I can see that. And then you got some weird, like Dietrich and Shanker 40-1.
Pass.
And let me tell you this: if anyone's on Dietrich this week and he has a 3-foot putt on the back nine and he's in contention, he will miss it. There's not a doubt. And don't say, "Oh, I got fucked this week. Bad luck." No, it's just a fact. He's gonna miss it. Just so you know.
Probably same can be said about Benny Ann.
Nah, man. No. And then the next guy, he's down to 45-1. This next guy I've bet was Mackenzie Hughes. He was 55-1 when it opened. I thought the number was really fair. I had him on my list of numbers to look at. I thought anything better than 50 was definitely a bet. But he's playing really good. I mean, let's see.
I just feel like with Mac, like, I don't think around the green matters here. So, like, doesn't that take away something that's a weapon?
I think it's a good point. But putting obviously is big.
Yes.
And he was T14 here last year. And he was still able to gain 3.2 strokes around the green here. And he's been getting longer. His distance has been going up, so I think he can compete more at these courses where he might being longer might help a little bit. He's having a really good season. He was T3 at Valspar, T14 in Houston. Been gaining on approach, which is unlike him. I just think he can win. The events he's won have been birdie fest, I believe.
Oh yeah, Sanderson.
Yeah, Sanderson and then the RSM or
RSM.
So I think he likes going low. I think he can get the hot putter going. I thought 55 was fair. Strokes gain in Texas. He was up there for me. So let's see. Strokes gain total in Texas. He was ranked. Spieth is one, Cooch is two. He's fifth.
Wow.
His last 36 rounds. Spieth, Cooch, Day, Noren, Hughes, Siwoo, Bud Cauley, Dan Berger.
So you bet a 55. I don't think 55. I'm getting that. Would you bet a 40 or a 45?
I think 45 is all right, especially because, I mean, I plan on being pretty underexposed here.
Okay. All right, I haven't pulled on that one yet. I got to think on that. Who else are we going?
There were two guys who I didn't bet who I was really looking at.
Who were they?
And Patrick Rogers.
Yep.
I liked that he was T5 at Heritage. Stats are really good. He has been pretty good in Texas so far. Look at the
events. He's the only one that kind of even gave Scotty a scare, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was right there. He was going to the back nine. He kind of fell apart, which I don't think anyone's too surprised about. Good off the tee. He's, I don't know, I can just see him playing well this week. But 50 wasn't a good number.
Tough number.
I thought it might be 70. So I didn't end up betting it, but I thought about it. And the other guy was Mitt McNeely. Been looking for a way to kind of get on him. He's hitting it better from tee to green this year, which doesn't mean that he's good in that category, but he's just a little bit better.
Yeah, again, I kind of feel the same way about McNeely as I did Mac Hughes. Just doesn't it take his best weapon out of his hands here?
Yeah. Around the green. Yeah, I get it.
That leads us to our next bet, right?
Yeah, the next winner? Bet. The winner. Who is it?
Irish are hot right now. We had two Irish winners last year. We're going to have our last week. We're going to have a third. Come through this week. Shame is power.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think he's the winner. I mean, he was the one guy I had written down like last Wednesday that Power was going to win this week. Hit a top 20 on him a couple weeks ago at Heritage, and he's just starting to play really, really well.
You said he was up there in course history as well, right? He finished fourth last year or something?
Awesome. So, I mean, he finished T12 his last start at Heritage. He gained 4.4 in approach, and then he, in his three starts at TPC Craig Ranch, he hasn't finished outside the top 20 yet. T9 in 2019. He likes easy courses too, right? Barbasol he won, easy. Butterfield Bermuda he won, easy. Weak field, low scoring. He's starting to play really well. Great at Heritage, and now you get a much weaker field in Texas where he's incredible. Fourth in strokes gained total at the course over his last after his three starts there. I just think he's the guy.
Boom, love it. You got a 70, right? I'm probably gonna be a better 55.
Yeah, I might look for a top five on that too or something.
Yeah.
And that's everyone under 100 for me. I know some guys drifted, but anyone else in that range that you were looking at?
Scrolling down the DK odds board. The only one, you're going to hate this. What about Jake Knapp?
No.
No?
Not interested.
90-1?
The guy's been, hasn't he been shit?
Yes.
So he's won once in Mexico, and then he's sucked ever since.
Well, I was thinking this was, not really. Kind of like Mexico played this year, right? Birdfest? Bombers?
Yeah, it's a bird fest, but Mexico it just seems like it yields different, a weird type of leaderboard that always repeats itself, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I'm out then. Oh, there is a guy that drifted that you took.
Yeah. Chan Kim. I really liked him. He's another guy I had written down last week. And I do my initial research and I write down some names.
Is he Korean?
He's Korean. Yep. South Korean. Which those guys have been really good. His ball striking numbers have been awesome. He won twice in the Korn Ferry Tour last year, so I think he knows how to win. He's won on the Japan Tour 8 times. Him and Gim finished 28th last week at the Zurich. And then the last two starts before that, he was T14 at the Valero Texas Open. Obviously, a little bit of a Texas link. And then he was T6 at Corrales. Another easy event. Definitely a birdie guy. I looked at like easy courses. He was way up there in strokes gained. He's just really good in easy courses. I don't think he's great around the green. I think he is a long shot South Korean potential winner of this event.
Fuck it, I like it. We haven't bet him. I know a lot of people have been betting him a lot, right? We don't think we've ever bet him.
Yeah, he's a brick shithouse too.
Is he?
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what he looks like. Well, I could tell you what he looks like, but
yeah, he's big and strong, which is you know, a bit atypical.
All right, so that's two Asians on the card, so we need a third.
We got a third.
All right, what do you got? I don't like this guy, but you got him.
CT Pan, I think he's down to 100, and he is really starting to play well. Players, he gained 6.6 on approach. Valero, he gained 3.7. At Zurich, him and Kevin Yu were up there for a long time. They finished T28. He can get hot with his irons. He finished fourth here last year. He's 16th in strokes gained total in Texas. So he's won an event, lower scoring event. I just think he's a guy who's always dangerous to win. The numbers are starting to come around. Good in Texas, good at this course. I thought the triple digits was fine.
Doesn't it feel like we always get him fucking wrong? Like, you feel like every time we bet CT Pan, like, he's immediately six over on Thursday.
That could happen, but if it's going to happen, I'd rather be a guy who's 100-1.
Okay. Is that a good number?
I don't know. I think.
I would trust him if he's in the mix.
Yeah.
I think. Is his wife on the bag?
I don't know.
If I can't find another Asian, I might just have to make the sacrifice.
I mean, yeah. He makes sense if you get a fourth and a third agent.
Yeah.
What is he? Is he he's Taiwan.
Yeah, that's in Asia.
Who did he beat at there?
The Olympics.
He won the Heritage.
No, he beat Cooch. Remember, we were on Cooch.
Cooch, Texas guy.
Comparing Heritage to fucking this shit.
No, but I mean, just trying to find anything I can. I like CT. Got it. I don't know. Hit me late last night, and I felt a strong urge.
Okay.
I got one more triple digiter.
What do you got?
And I love this guy. I think he makes tons of sense this week. Alejandro Tosti.
Oh yeah, who doesn't love that guy? He's a fucking psycho.
I think everybody doesn't like him really. Yeah. I praised him once, and a bunch of people were like. Like, fuck you, man. He's a piece of shit. Like, they were like,
really?
Like,
I thought people liked him.
No, people hate him.
Really? I thought people from a fan perspective, I thought people liked him because he's electric.
No. Did you really? See that? Well, a lot of golf purists don't like stuff like that. And there's also, did you see the Monday Q article about him?
When he cheated?
More than when he cheated. She's like an absolute fucking scumbag to everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got in trouble for going on a swearing tirade, and he told the rules official he was going to kill him.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, he got into a fight with Tony Finau, and that guy's from Utah. I haven't met a fucking single soul who sucks in Utah. They're all nice.
Yeah, so I think he just is, like, I think everybody hates him.
Yeah.
But I think that's great. I mean, he's definitely something you and I would love, but I think... We're not the same as everyone else.
Are we assholes?
Yeah, I guess. He's still 100-1 on DraftKings. I'm surprised. I thought he'd catch some steam. But he's been elite off the tee. His last 24 rounds, he's second in strokes gained off the tee in the field, long and straight. He got a taste of contention at Texas at the Houston Open a couple weeks ago. Tied for second. I like that he got some scar tissue from that. He's still 27. He's still relatively young. And he was a great Korn Ferry Tour player, won, and then a bunch of other top five finishes. Korn Ferry guys, they know you got to go low to win. His Argentine brother, Emiliano Grillo, won in Texas last year. So I think the Argentines might like Texas.
Yeah, Tosti already almost won, too.
So. Sergio's won in Texas. Like, you get the Latin flair.
I'm in. A lot of them live down there, I believe. I know that's where Answer is.
Wouldn't that be sick if he was in the mix?
Oh, yeah.
It would be a great time, just flipping everybody off.
Yeah. You love the guys that everybody hates.
Hey, if it took some of you guys 5 years to realize that, but pretty obvious.
Yeah. So I'm in on Toasty, Alejandro.
All right, so that's my six for the week. And just I know you're at the airport. It's probably not the most comfortable thing. Let's move on to Singapore. Are you good with that or anything else you want to add?
Nope, let's go.
All right, Singapore. I love this course. Really, I think this was my favorite viewing event last year.
This course is awesome. Doesn't get enough credit, too. The views are great. I think it was also one of your best because of Sergio.
Yes, obviously. but Sentosa, the way I would describe it, it's like it's just the weirdest course. It's like perfectly manufactured where it's like if God were to build a golf course and just lift the entire thing up and place it, you know, 2 miles from Disney World. That's what this place is.
Yeah, it's great.
I saw someone, like one of the fried egg guys, like making fun of the course because it was too close to Disney World or something.
What?
It's fucking losers. I have no idea. But so Sentosa is the southern tip of Singapore, one of the most beautiful courses in the world. It's great scenically. It was rated 55th in Golf Digest top 100 courses in 2022, 2023. And it's been one of the best. It's one of the best courses in Asia. Prior to being on LIV, everyone agreed with that. Now I'm sure people probably say it's the resort course or something, but it did host the Singapore Open every year since between 2005 and last year when it moved to LIV. It's a par 71, 7,406 yards. It requires precise ball striking and some length off the tee. There is trouble here. You can get in trouble. You can also go low because the conditions are just so well. The greens are so pure, but there are hazards. There are difficult spots. There is water. There's double bogeys out there, which I think makes it a good course. Bermuda grass greens, perfectly manicured. And the course spent millions of dollars on a sub-air system, just like Augusta and some of these other courses. The greens are always rolling fast. And even if it rains, they're going to get that sub in there and get those greens rolling again. Multiple people, including my friend Travis Smythe, who plays on the Asian Tour, described the greens as the best he's ever played.
Wow. I'll tell you what, these greens at Black Desert, these are the best greens I've ever played, ever seen. It was like, I just wanted to roll around on them. It was fucking awesome.
So I think like, Sentosa, you'd probably feel similar.
Nothing gets me more rock hard than a nice fucking pure green, very green. It's fucking great.
I'd love to see you rolling around on them too. Davis Love III, who played here in 2019 at the Singapore Open, he was gushing over the condition of the golf course. He said, I love the greens. They're fabulous. The greens are great. The fairways are perfect. It's a wonderful course. It's tricky off the tee. It's a long golf course. You get some long iron shots. It takes somebody hitting it great to hit every green, even though they're big. So you get it's a ball striker's course. And there's a lot of trouble. It's long off the tee. You got to be a good driver of the golf ball. Let's see who else. Phil talked about it in his pre-tournament press conference last year. He said to play Sentosa effectively, you're gonna have a lot of shots from 160 to 210, a lot of full 6, 7, 8 iron shots. You need to hit those really well, and you need to drive the ball well. So it's tee to green guys, ball strikers. I think it's a good test of golf.
So Sergio.
I mean, when Serge's at his best, it's definitely it makes sense why he's played so well here. He won here by 5 shots.
You told me last week you were betting him no matter what the number was, 14. Now it's fucking 22, 25, and you're on the fence.
I didn't like that he didn't play well last week. But yeah,
he doesn't play great in back-to-back events on LIV. He hasn't. It's like every other.
Okay. And
after he lost to Neiman, what did he do the next week?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
And then he was good at right after that, right?
And then he lost in a playoff at Miami?
Yeah, but before Miami, he wasn't good.
Right. That's another one of his courses, too. Miami.
Yeah. Right. I think we just got to bet Sergio. We'll have to fucking kill ourselves if he's in the mix and we're not on him at Singapore.
Yeah, this is his course. Won in 2018 here by 5 shots. He just, course setup wise, he's just the type of guy who's great here. Long off the tee, straight, one of the better long iron players on LIV. Good putter on Bermuda. He always is best, puts his best on Bermuda. He's putting it really, I like that new putter of his. I think he's doing pretty good. And you know what? He didn't play that well in Adelaide last week, but what I do think is positive is he was even after 2 rounds, almost dead last, and then he shoots a 6-under on Sunday.
Damn, man, he was only even?
Jesus. Yeah, not good.
Good Sunday, though.
Yeah, so I think he can carry that momentum in there. And he just knows what course he's going to contend at. I mean, did we ever think he's going to win a birdie fest, you know, equivalent to minus 25 in Australia?
No, no, not at all.
So, whatever.
So, we're betting it?
Betting Sergio, yeah.
All right, good. up top.
Yeah.
Is something coming for Lou?
I mean, it just feels like he's always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
16-1. Is that good?
That's not great. For Louis?
You bet him 18 last week, 20.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Just feels like something's coming. It's every week he's there.
Isn't that who he is, though?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is.
Did he have any interest in winning the
event last week? Did we see Rahm winning this?
Yes, I can.
I do, too. This is the first one I can actually see him winning.
He's the guy I'm most concerned about.
I'm not worried about Neiman. Does Neiman play this well? And he played well last week.
Neiman, Rahm, and then Brooks I'm a little worried about, too. His stats were really good last week, and he was one shot of a playoff player last year.
Is that why Brooks is steamed?
His stats were good.
Well, I don't know last week, or he just played well Saturday?
His stats for the week were great. He was first in greens and reg.
So weird on LIV. Like, it just randomly show guys that are finally, like, in the mix. Like, I had no clue Brooks was even doing anything, and all of a sudden he's minus 14.
I know. You know what? For Brooks, it's like the reason I'm worried about him too is, yeah, he plays majors great, but he also has like 3, 4, 5 spots in the world that he always plays well.
Yeah.
Scottsdale.
He didn't in Jetta. He didn't play well this year.
Yeah. But I'm worried this is, could be one of them. He's one shot of a playoff. He was really dangerous here last year. I mean, I'm not going to bet Rahm, Neiman, or him, but I am concerned about Rahm.
I am too. I think Rahm might win this.
I do too.
I think it's just kind of time. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Bryson, I think, might be too much trouble.
Yeah, no.
Is this Liv's last?
He played pretty good, though, right? Last week?
Played all right.
Yeah.
Is this Liv's last event before the PGA?
Yeah.
This is it?
PGA is 2 weeks away.
Wow. All right, so yeah, I mean, I completely agree that he's the guy, Rahm's the guy, very worried about him, but maybe he does what he always has been doing and not, you know, playing well but not well enough to win. He's second in the LIV standings. Anyone else in this range that you'd actually consider betting?
Nobody, it's just Lou, it was just me, Louie, but
okay.
That's only because we've been on him. I don't know. I obviously don't love the number. But no, I wouldn't bet anybody below that.
All right. So DJ's up to 28, which he said he was last week, but seems a little bit crazy.
Seems probably really crazy. That is high. That is high, man.
I don't know if he has it right now.
Definitely doesn't. So I'll
talk about the next guy I want to bet, and that's Casey. I know you're not as high on him as I am. But this is one of the spots all year where I'm like, if I can picture Casey winning one of these LIV events, it's Singapore. Good off the tee, great long iron play. I mean, at his best, he's probably one of the best long iron players in the world when he was in his heyday. He's still hitting them good. And looking back at what he's done this season, it's actually like he's played bad and then came back and played well again.
So he didn't miss his window?
No, I think he's almost the same as Sergio. Right, I can see, like, so he was T5 in Vegas, and then he was T29 in Jeddah. Then he was second in Hong Kong. And then went to Singapore, on the DP World Tour, finished 6th, 14th in Miami, 31st in Adelaide, but not a birdie fest guy. That's why we didn't bet him last week. And I think that is what we wanted him to not play so well. Now, this is the course, like, of all the live events, this is the course he should be best suited for.
Yeah, I'm just worried about the window thing.
You think it's just over?
I don't know. If I don't bet Louis, you go Sergio, Casey, and like three other guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You think that's the best way to play, to try to take down Rahm?
That's what I'm looking at. I don't want to bet Louis at 16. I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, it's a tough number.
So I bet the Casey 33. I think it's just a fair number.
Okay, 33. Who else you bet?
He's been the 6th best player on Live this year. And the next one I bet was Mito. You know, do I trust that he can win? I'm not sure, but 50-1 I thought was fair. He played really well last week for, like, seems like the first time. He's been starting to get something together. Obviously,
last week wasn't an aberration.
It could be. It could be. But if there's a place you want to bet him, it's tee to green, right? Drive it well. Good iron play. Long irons.
His stats were good.
Stats were good.
And he's played this course well.
Yes. Right? What did you hear? I don't know. Has he?
I thought you told me he finished 4th or something.
Let me check. He... 8th last week, but he's been good in Asia, actually, too. International Series Macau finished 14th. International Series Oman finished 4th. Obviously, the fields aren't the best. Last year here, he... Singapore. Yeah, 5th here last year.
Yeah, okay. I'm in on Mito.
And the 5th last year was after a T26 at Adelaide.
Yeah, I'm in on Mito.
I think it's a good course for him.
Yep, I agree. In on him. It's not bent though, right? You said it's Bermuda.
Yeah.
It's more of a bent guy, but whatever.
Do you trust him in contention?
I don't know how you could.
No, I don't either. That's the obvious answer there. Just hope he doesn't get struck by lightning during his tee shot right. This time.
Yeah. He had some weird shots this week too.
Dude, it was almost a similar struck by lightning swing.
Yeah, I had a discussion with all the guys. Like, wow, he just got struck by lightning again.
I can't believe it. I mean, it's just like mid-swing. It's fucking insane. So, yeah, that's the three guys I've bet already. Anyone else that – so, you know, if we go with that strategy, like we said, Sergio, Casey, Pereira, that leaves some room for some other guys.
I don't have the odds in front of me. Give me the 40 or give me the from Casey up.
I can't find the fucking odds anywhere because they're not legal here. Let's see. Actually, I know what I can do. 40 and up. Okay. PGA Tour. Live Singapore.
I got him. Okay. Cam Smith is 14, huh? I didn't think he played that well.
Not a Cam course at all.
What about Patrick Reed?
No.
Played well.
Did he?
Yeah, he was like 2 shots off the lead going into Sunday.
I'm just so... is he capable of winning?
I don't know. Yeah, he is.
But he just seems like he never truly contends.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. What about Wolf? 65?
Yeah, I mean, how was he last week?
I don't think he was anything. I don't know. You tell me. I have no idea. I like Wolf when he's long odds and Bermuda course.
You like Bermuda for him?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I'll check the stats out for him. Yeah, I mean, I think he's onto something and he should be able to win soon, but I like longer odds for sure.
But isn't that just 80?
Yeah, I don't mind Lahir. I reached out to Joy to see what he thinks about him at this course. But he didn't play as he was 19th here last year, but I remember that was like right when he had a family tragedy. So I don't know if that impacted him really at all. And that was after his good start at Adelaide. He was good last. So yeah, the question is, was last week an aberration because he loves that course in Adelaide, or is it because he's playing really well?
Yeah.
His stats are very good.
Yeah.
Really good stats.
Okay.
So let me just tell you real quick for Lahiri. He finished 14th last week. He was second in fairways, fifth in greens and reg.
How was Wolf?
Let's see. Wolf was Reed finished 22nd.
Wow, he had a bad Sunday.
Wolf was 21st in greens and reg, obviously. Sixth for driving distance and T38 for greens and reg. Yeah, not good.
Not really the course for him, though, last week.
No, it wasn't.
At all.
It was not. Casey actually played good. He didn't finish well, but 26 in fairways, which isn't great for him. But he was T17 in greens and reg, so it wasn't that bad.
You're out there bombing it on this course still, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Sergio was T8 in greens and reg.
Yeah, I'm in on Sergio. I'm just going to – we said Sergio in Singapore. Probably bet it every year till he wins it.
Okay. So anything else you want to know about the stats or anything?
No.
Louis, phenomenal.
His stats were phenomenal.
Yeah, Brooks, phenomenal.
Oh, what were DJ's stats?
DJ's. Burmy also was.
Burmy's like the best player on Live.
I know. DJ... 18th in greens and reg, 34th in fairways, 15th in driving distance. I just don't think these guys could pull driver the way they wanted to.
I do like DJ when he's playing. This DJ and Brooks, when they get multiple events in a row.
What about Leishman?
I was like, no.
Okay. Marty Keimer finished 14th last week.
I saw that.
Mostly putting, though.
I'm going to say no on Marty.
Definitely a answer course, I would say. Yeah, I want to look at Stenson.
Yeah, but answer, we can't bet.
I don't know. Stenson finished like dead last.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't great.
All right, then we bet Ogletree, 150.
Yes, Ogletree. I love this bet, 150-1. We've been kind of waiting for him to come around, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I thought he'd be really good on Liv.
He was last year when he played the few events, but this year I think he's just out of form, and now he's starting to get it.
Yeah, he's won multiple Asian Tour events, and now we're in Asia. Yeah. He hits it pretty far. He was seventh in driving distance last week, 18th in greens and reg, T9 in birdies. I think it's just a good number on him. He beat a lot of guys last week.
That'd be a story if Ogletree won. I think PGA guys would latch onto that as well.
Yeah, I think he could win.
I do too. Wolf 65, that's not bad. Is that bad?
No, it's not bad, but his stats weren't good. I mean, but this one might be. What did he do here last year? Let's see.
All right, sucked ass. He was fucking so good in Miami.
I know. He's a strange one, man. I know he's on the weed.
I mean, DJ. So DJ and Brooks, I like when they're back-to-back weeks, but he
was T41. Let's dissect this leaderboard a little bit. Gooch wins, great, probably the best iron player right now on, not the planet, but on Live. Garcia second, know about that. Brooks third. Scott Vincent, Asian Tour player, probably really comfortable playing in Asia, right?
Yeah.
Mito fifth. We know why he was. We like that. Then you got Kokrak, Cam, Three Sticks, Iron Guy, Varner, Neiman, Uline, Tringali, Chikara, Reed, Mickelson, Leishman. Louis was T16. Other notables. Lahiri was T19. Good. Casey was T30, but he shot a Sunday 63. Low round of the day. Low round of the day. Sorry, low round of the week. Oh, nope. Low round of the day. Vincent shot a 62 on Saturday.
All right. So we got things to think about with Liv. I actually got to board this plane. So.
All right. I think we've got most out there anyway. So let's get at least one winner this week, huh?
Man, we really need one before the PGA.
Tap it in.
Really need one.
Tap it in.
All right. Give well, safe travels.
All right.
Tap,
thanks.
Tap, tap a room. Yeah.